Arizona brought in more money in April than in any previous month ever. Numbers from the Joint Legislative Budget Committee show state revenue topped $2 billion last month, which was far higher than projections. At the same time, state lawmakers are struggling to come to agreement on a new budget as the end of the fiscal year looms at the end of June. With me to talk about the new numbers from JLBC and what they may mean for the budget process is economist Alan McGuire. He's president of the McGuire Company and has spent a lot of time in state government. And Alan, first off, what do you make of the revenue numbers?
Well, first, April's always a pretty good month because you've got personal income tax payments coming in, right, in a lot of cases. And so it's a historically good month. And being the highest ever is not entirely surprising. First of all, there's been a long run of very good tax collections for about a year and a half or so. And secondly, the state is growing. So one would kind of expect that each year would be a little higher than the prior year in nominal dollar amounts. Plus, we've got a flash of inflation going on here. So all those sort of explain away why the number might be the highest ever in history.
So to you, then, it doesn't seem maybe as surprising as it would to somebody who maybe hasn't worked on state budgets for as long as you have, hasn't had as much experience in state government as you have.
No. Actually, Arizona, because of our tax structure, the way it is, has a historically volatile general fund revenue. Our sales taxes go up and down because we don't tax food, the most stable part of sales. And our income tax historically has been progressive. And so therefore, more revenue is generated from the higher income households. And those higher income households have more volatile income because of the nature of Arizona's economy in many cases.
So you referenced the sales tax, and JLBC referenced the sales tax as well. It had another month of double-digit growth. That's 14 consecutive months of double-digit month year-over-year growth per month. What does that tell you about where Arizona's economy is right now?
Well, Arizona's economy is doing very, very well. We did not suffer nearly as badly as many other states during the pandemic lockdowns because we didn't lock down as severely as other places. Now, it certainly hurt our leisure and hospitality industry quite a bit, obviously, because travel was way down. But some other sectors performed quite well, and you can see that in some of the tax revenues. Construction, for example, held up very well through the entire period. I would expect sales taxes to be up quite a bit for two reasons. Number one, we've got a bunch of inflation, and we see that in prices. So that that pound of bananas you bought for $2 a year ago is now $2.50. So nominally, you would see the sales tax go up in the same sort of fashion. That's one thing. And then the other thing is we tend to keep forgetting that for about a year and a half, the federal government basically flew helicopters over the U.S. and dropped money out of them. And so we have all this money that's flooded into households. I heard three of the major bank presidents or CFOs in the last week comment on the fact that household savings and checking accounts are at historically high levels. Hmm. So people have saved a lot of that pandemic aid, and then they've spent it over time. And more recently, they spent it on goods, because there were no services available until just the last few months.
So I want to ask you about what's going on at the Capitol when budget writers, lawmakers, the governor's staff, those folks see these numbers. Does it make their job to craft a budget easier? Does it make it harder?
Mark, it is always harder to close down the budget process when there's money on the table. When there's no money, it's relatively easy. The budget committees and the leadership can say to their fellow members, got no money, can't give you what you want. When there is money, there will always be requests and demands far in excess of the available amount. Tell them you have $10 million, you'll get $100 million worth of requests.
So I guess, you know, there has been a lot of talk about, you know, the state's got this, what, $5 billion or so surplus. I know folks at the Capitol don't like to use the word surplus, but extra money, you know, and a lot of folks want more money for education, for, you know, social safety net programs. Name your project, and there are people who want extra money for it. When the state reports that there's another $2 billion coming in 1 month, does that just up the requests?
It does. And, one of the hard parts of this process right now is legislators and interest groups who drive legislators tend to think of general fund revenue like perishable fruit. if you don't spend it today, it will be gone. It is actually quite the opposite. Whatever you don't spend this year is there next year. And so the worst possible time to make big policy decisions is in the waning days of a legislative session. Everybody's tired, they're overwrought, tempers are on edge, and you see that almost every session, and not a good time to be making big policy decisions. We did that last session to some regret, and I think, frankly, they could leave that money sit. Think about it for a year. It's a novel concept, but think about it for a year and figure out what should you do with that money. And by the way, a year from now, you're going to have a much better sense of how much of that money is really ongoing, not guessed at ongoing, but really ongoing, and how much is one time. And then spend the one-time stuff for one-time things, and then think about what long-term programmatic changes you want to make in state government for the remainder.
So I know how much economists love looking into crystal balls and making big predictions. So I'm going to ask you to look into yours for a moment. How do you think the budget situation ends this year for the legislature with just over a month till the end of the fiscal year?
I'm not sure. I think what I would be tempted to suggest to them, and I say this cautiously, is that they might take some of the funds that they've got, appropriate them into dedicated funds. So if they want to spend some more on K-12, put a couple hundred million dollars or whatever that number is, come up with a number, put that in a dedicated fund and set it aside and say that we're going to talk about that maybe after the November elections or sometime from now when you'll be able to. So you give them half a loaf, if that makes sense, right? You say, yes, we'll use this money for your purpose, but not until we think about how we want to use it. What do we really want to do with it? And you can do the same thing, for example, for water infrastructure augmentation. You could put a pot of money aside and decide how to do it. Don't try to design a system in the waning hours of the legislature that may or may not work. We've got a lot of bad law written that way, and this is not the time to do that. So that might help them, and that would help them get the area of dispute to a more manageable size. And then they can make some final decisions. And people could take credit. Legislators could go back and run for re-election on the fact that I got X millions of dollars put aside for K-12 or water or pension funds or anything. And the other thing is that it isn't like the state of Arizona has no debt. We could pay down a whole bunch of debt, most notably our pension debt. I thank them and I appreciate what they've done so far, but they could do far more to buy down that pension debt and get that obligation off the back of future taxpayers.
All right. That is Alan McGuire, president of the McGuire Company. He's been involved in state government for many years. Alan, as always, a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
My pleasure, Mark.